to the 13th Warehouse. I'm Kim.
And I'm Vicky.
And this is Doug with the IMDb synopsis. Season 2, Episode 12, Reset. Wells' treacherous attack and devastating betrayal in Egypt has set into motion the plan she has been secretly orchestrating for more than 100 years. Created by Brent Moat and Jane Espenson, written by Jack Kenny, Nell Scovell, and Derek A. Hughes. Directed by Constantine Macris. Original air date, September 21st, 2010.
Too, and we are in big trouble.
Big Bob.
I know. I got one to match.
Oh, what's that sound?
It's sand. No, I'm sorry. Scratch that. It's the whole freaking Sahara Desert. This place is filling up with sand, Micah.
And we're back with Season 2, Episode 12, Reset. I think we started with my notes last time, so it's Kim's turn to start first.
Alrighty. I don't know. This one's all over the place, but we're going to start off with, what do they call that? That back screen. That backdrop or whatever it is. Micah, Pete, and HG in the second warehouse.
Yeah.
As we know, HG shot her with the ray, stunned her for a minute, and she's gone. Pete and Micah finally wake up, and Pete realized that the place is filling up with sand.
Right.
It's that thing where there's no scenery in the back. You know, on the set, there's nothing. They kind of add it.
Oh, green screen.
Green, yeah, that's it. It's just so terrible. And I was like, did they do a budget cut? Because it just seems like you can really tell that they're not there.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. I thought you were laughing at Pete trying to get the magic carpet to fly.
Yeah, I got that too. My boy Pete. And she's like, it's just probably just a rug. You know, he's trying to get it to fly. And it's not flying, Pete. It's not flying. So, you know, they're running around like with a chicken with their head cut off. But Micah kind of figures out certain things a little quicker. She sees the hat, she runs around, and she sees the wings. And she has Pete, you know, put them on, and Pete's like, you smell. And she's like, just put them on. She gets on back of him, and they fly up, and she tells him about the daggone wings.
Those are the wings of Daedalus. And the wings somehow generate their own lift and create their own wind, which allows the user to fly through the air. They're activated as soon as the user puts them on and starts flapping their arms.
Okay, so then Artie helps him out. He opens up the latch. But even that part, I'm just looking at it going, really? Even when they come out of it and they hit the sand, it just seems so fake. Like, Artie's not where Artie should be.
I didn't really even notice that. But now that I'm picturing it in my head, now that you're saying that, I guess it did look kind of fake.
Yeah, the sand. There's certain effects that could have been done just a little bit better. You know, and we've seen them do better. We'll probably see them do better. But, you know, it was a little off. But anyway, Pete, the kid side of him, he's laughing because she's trying to find the Farnsworth out of his pocket and stuff like that. But, you know, that's Pete being Pete. And he talks about, oh, this would be so good to see a Browns game.
Wow! Can you imagine watching a Browns game like this?
Yeah, I thought that's exactly what Daedalus had in mind. Oh,
Pete up! Artie's like, HG is the bad guy. You go, we know! Claudia comes up, all three of them go, we know!
One thing I thought was funny about Artie in the desert was Micah and Pete laughed at Artie's clothes, just like Micah laughed at HG's clothes. It's like they both took the word of a movie or something to say what was fashionable.
Oh.
In the desert. It seemed like they both shopped in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah. It just looked all so out of place. It didn't look real. Where other things look really real. That's the only thing that kind of threw me off. You could come out. Indiana Jones? How old is Indiana Jones? And the effects were better.
Yeah, maybe they just didn't want to waste the money because they weren't there long, really.
It was too many of those to do a backdrop.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe, I don't know.
Can we use your backdrop? just the desert. Just the desert when they come out. Anyway, I know they get together and talk about Miss Frederick. She was connected to the warehouse, too, and she could do an inventory, and she's asking them to, you know, walk her through.
For a time, I had a cognitive connection to Warehouse 2. Much of this inventory was downloaded into my mind.
Hell of a backup drive.
Can you access it?
I can try. It's fading. Tell me quickly what you remember of HG's last position.
Well, Mike and I were in the office trying to figure out where the key went, right? And then HG ran to see if she could turn off the orb.
She went to the main floor.
Can you describe the area in which she was ultimately found?
There was vases. There was lots of clay pots and vases.
How can she spot what's missing? She's just that good?
Yes.
I didn't kind of like the way they walked her through. I think they could have walked her through a little bit better, even though she found what was missing. I don't know why that part bothered me, and I watched it twice. I think you could have did a better job of explaining it. I'm not a writer. And then she realized that the spear is missing. They started doing the history, trying to find that. Anyways, HG is in Paris. They keep on thinking that she wants to bring her daughter back to life, and that wasn't the case.
Maybe the spear has resurrection properties.
She wants to bring her daughter back from the dead?
I don't know about spears, but I can tell you resurrection is a dangerous practice and always comes at a price.
Yeah, look at Mickey Rourke.
I'm still trying to figure out why she did that to the lawyer. He technically didn't know what she was doing. All she wanted him to do was open the coffin. I mean, just open up the vault.
Right. This whole storyline was weird to me anyway, because her reasons for destroying the earth seemed to come out of left field.
Yes, it did.
What is going on? Once she said she was hoping she'd wake up to a better world. This was just the weirdest thing I ever saw. There was no reason for her to do anything to the guy.
Right.
And it was almost like she was doing things knowing they would get rescued. She didn't really think this guy was going to die. So why do it? I don't even understand.
Right, yeah. A lot of it I couldn't understand either.
This whole storyline came out of left field. You know, it's like finding out she had an ex-husband somewhere and she was trying to kill him, who we never heard about. It was just the weirdest storyline. What? You know, she wants to destroy the earth? It doesn't even make any sense.
Right.
I don't understand. Why would you kill millions of innocent people?
Innocent? Open your eyes, Micah. Have you looked at the world in which you live?
So because you lost your daughter, because you're angry.
No, don't you dare. This may have begun with Christina's murder, but it's not about that. Yeah, I foolishly believed that if I could find a way to travel through time, then things would have improved. A utopia would have emerged, but here we are, over a century later, and things have actually gotten worse.
From her, it didn't make any sense. Part of it, I could understand where, because I'm like, yeah, well, if I had a staff, especially 4 years ago, I would have just hit it in the ground and called it a day.
Yeah.
Oh, God. When I would have been like, whoop, here we go, boom. But not with her saying it.
Right, because there was no indication that this was something that was weighing on her mind. The only thing we knew about was the loss of her daughter.
Right. Now, if it was like Micah has said something like that, Lena has said something like that, I probably understand it. But her, nah.
Yeah, it just came out of left field. It was almost like they created this storyline and then they didn't know how to end it or what to do with it.
Right, yeah.
And they just came up with this.
Yeah, because then they took the handle off the coffin. So it was like a goose chase.
She would have had been planning this not only before she was bronzed, but right when her daughter died, because the pieces were on the coffin, unless she went back months later after her daughter died and opened the vault to put these pieces on the coffin. But either way, she was planning this way ahead of when we would assume she would be planning something to bring her daughter back, not ending the world.
Mm-hmm.
See, that doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
Why she would... I could see her planning ahead to try to save her daughter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, the storyline just seems ridiculous to me. I like the episode, but the storyline just seemed really out of left field.
Yeah, it's always seen about her daughter. It didn't ever say anything about the world should be a better place or feel sorry for the world.
Right, once she did, when she was first telling Micah that she asked to be bronze, she said she thought she'd wake up to a better world. That's right. The only thing we ever heard.
But nothing else.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even after a couple of times, I want to make the world a better place.
Right.
Nothing.
This trident, the Minoan trident, was the world's first weapon of mass destruction. It was the first item collected for Warehouse 1 by Alexander the Great. The trident was the reason Julius Caesar attacked Egypt and why Warehouse 2 was buried. When struck to the earth 3 times, it causes fissures in the earth's crust. If placed properly, it could cause a volcanic eruption. So I was going to say, and you might have it in your notes, but that picture that Lena was drawing way back when, after McPherson left her mind, we knew that was going to come back. And it turns out that's how they figured out she was after the trident.
Right, because Artie drew it so many different ways.
Right, and after they found out that she took the handles of the coffin, Mrs. Fredericks remembered the picture that Lena drew.
Right.
Lena still doesn't know what it is, but Artie figured out it was the trident. So now they know she wants to destroy the world.
And then why she uses Kelly?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Well, now thinking about it, she used Kelly because Kelly must have had another contract somewhere.
Well, I think number one, she used Kelly to keep Pete distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I think she wanted Micah to be the one to come after her. Now, let me give you a dumb Pete moment, please.
Mm-hmm.
HG tells him that she sent Kelly a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you were a Warehouse 13 agent and worked with artifacts and running after a bad guy who has artifacts, would you not think that the thing that they sent his girlfriend was an artifact?
Right.
Would you not bring some gloves and some goo to bag it?
Oh, there's a lot more Pete moments in this one.
Yeah, he knows she sent her an artifact. And still, he goes running there with no gloves and no goo. So what the heck was he supposed to do? And then when he takes the knife out of her hand because he thinks it's Lorena Bobbitt's knife,
mm-hmm.
he thinks everything's fine. Even if that was the artifact, everything's not going to be fine when he takes it out of her hand. He knows that. He has to throw it in the bag and goo it.
But the other thing is, he turned her back. He turned yes. his back on her. You're always turning your back on somebody. Somebody's trying to kill you, you're going to turn your back on them.
It's almost like every time you see them turn around, you know something's going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, he knows better. He knows just taking the artifact out of somebody's hand isn't going to solve the problem. And fortunately, Claudia is bright enough, because Micah does say at the end that Claudia is the only adult in the group. Fortunately, Claudia is bright enough to be an agent and bring the gloves and the goo.
And say that it was like one of those moments where I'm going, really, Pete, you need to learn from this. And then this joke is, oh, you trying to put me down?
Smoker! Hey! Hey! Kelly! Wait a minute! Just hold on! Just cut it out!
That is exactly what I intend to do. Cut it out.
Oh, God! Are you putting me down?
Now we'll do this the easy way.
Then the thing that I loved was Lizzie Borden, because I used to love watching that. I think Patty Duke played the one that I can remember.
Oh, yeah. I think so. Was it Patty Duke? No. What's her name? Bewitched. Elizabeth Montgomery. That was the one I always watched on TV when it came on.
Maybe it was her. Maybe I'm thinking Patty Duke was Blind Girl.
Helen Keller, yeah.
Helen Keller, yes. Then who just recently did it a couple of years ago?
You know what? I didn't watch it, but was it Christina Ricci?
Yes.
Okay.
I watched it. Yeah. It was good.
We went to the Lizzie Borden house about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If I could find the pictures, I'll post them on the website.
Yeah. I don't know. For some reason, that movie always intrigued me in some kind of way.
Yeah.
Just that thing when you're young and you're in tweens or you're teenage years, you want to kill your parents. But yeah, I used to love that. I used to love her.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Doug here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good and the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Warehouse 13, it is very likely you are also a fan of Eureka. If you aren't, you should be. Please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and Doug Gramley over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka. You can listen at EurekaRewatch.com on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
You had said something just a little while ago about her wanting to get caught, HD wanting to get caught.
Yeah.
At one point when Micah takes the gun, because she has the gun and puts it towards the head, she says, well, just kill me. So you're going to end the world. Just go ahead and kill me now. You really, really want to kill me now. And, you know, HD falls down. You know, she doesn't kill Micah. She doesn't kill her.
If I am wrong, then kill me. Do it! Kill me now! I mean, we're all gonna die anyway, right? So what's the difference? So shoot me! Shoot me now. Kill me. But not like that. Not like a coward. I want you to look me in the eyes and take my life. Come on.
But throughout this episode, Micah's kind of mad, which brings to the conclusion of what happens at the end, is that once she was upset at AD, and she's upset at herself for believing her. Because sometimes you do want to believe in your sister. You know, this is your woman. This is womanhood. You want to believe what she's telling you. And she was easily fooled.
And you know what? I was really glad. Because you know what? Even at the beginning, this annoyed me to no end. At the beginning, she kept yelling, HG played us. She played me. Like, she was so above everybody else that she wasn't the one who would have gotten played when she resigns. Mm-hmm. You know, she's making this all about her.
Right.
Oh, boo-hoo. You know what? You're not better than everybody else.
When H.G. bolted, she must have triggered some kind of self-preservation thing, something that protects the artifacts.
H.G., she played us. She played me.
Oh, big time.
Oh, kill her. I'm going to kill
Micah.
Her. What?
I get the whole anger thing, but could you please just channel it into finding us a way out of here?
Okay.
And I'm kind of glad that she got knocked down a little bit, because she really thought that she knew better, and she says that. But that's how she always is. Her problem is she can't get over the fact that somebody played her. It's not right. That she almost destroyed the world. All of them almost destroyed the world at one point or another.
Right.
It's not that. It's that she thought she was so superior to everybody else there. And I'm sorry, I really am happy about this.
Well, yeah, but I kept on saying, come on, really, girl?
Yeah.
Get yourself together, because it is. You're right. It's not about you. What was the agent's name that came and when Pete asked, where are you taking her? Did they even say his name?
Oh, the regent.
The regent.
Yeah. What was the question?
You know his name?
I can't remember.
Okay. Anyway, he even says she had us all fooled. None of us knew. She says, oh, except for Artie.
Right.
And Artie been dealing with her longer.
Right. But she was right that she should have listened to Artie. It doesn't matter that she fooled all of them. She's upset because she fooled her. And even at the end, when she quits and when she says, already knew, she's still making this all about her. So I'm glad she got knocked off her little pedestal.
Yeah. I mean, she needed it. She
yes,
needed it.
Absolutely.
H.G. Wells was a formidable opponent. She fooled us all.
She didn't fool Artie.
She needed it. I just felt bad for Pete. You know, this is where my heart comes into play, because I felt bad for Pete. You know, Kelly leaves.
Yeah.
She can't do it.
I'm leaving.
I know. I've been wanting to tell you, but... Okay, I don't really work at an IRS warehouse.
No kidding.
All right, just listen, okay? The rule is I can tell one person, one really important person.
No. Don't. I am not the one, Pete. So please don't tell me. I don't want a complicated life.
Then now Michael leaves.
Yeah.
So you got two people that technically had Pete's heart, and they left him. It's an abandonment. It's a rejection. And he's hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really, really felt bad. Like, my heart broke for Pete because, you know, two women walked out of his life. Not just one.
Right.
Two.
So here's my question about that. So when she decided to quit, do you think she was already all packed up and ready to go?
Yeah.
Because she just drove away.
And I believe that, yeah.
Pete chased her out, and if he really wanted to find her, I'm thinking, well, go to the Bed and Breakfast. She has to pack her stuff. But...
Nah, I believe she had her stuff packed. And you gotta remember, they didn't bring much there anyway.
Yeah.
The only person who had the most stuff was Pete.
Yeah.
Technically, if you look, yeah, she really didn't have that much. But I believe Michael would have had her stuff packed in a little suitcase in the car, and she left.
Yeah.
Her leaving, whatever. You get another person to replace her. No big deal.
Well, I kind of have to believe that she doesn't leave, because she's, like I said, she's one of the stars of the show. But I'm glad she got knocked down a peg or two.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you know what? You needed that. You needed that. You deserved it. It's not about you.
Yeah.
Basically, that's all I have.
In between all this, apparently Claudia has been concerned about that whole thing where she was supposed to take over if Mrs. Frederick died.
Oh, yeah, about that.
When Dr. Vanessa was here trying to save Mrs. Frederick, she said something that kind of scared me. When it looked like Mrs. F. might not make it, she said that I should be ready.
And you want to know, ready for what?
Actually, no. I'm pretty sure I'm not ready. I know that I might talk big sometimes, Artie, but I can't even buy a wine cooler in this state. So whatever you might have planned for me.
Breathe.
So she talks to Artie about it, and Artie tells her that he'll make sure that she lives the life she wants.
You can do whatever you want. You control your own destiny.
But she said
no, nothing has been decided or will be decided without your complete consent.
You promise?
With all my heart. You will live the life that you
But he does also look worried about making the promise. And I think he means to keep the promise because he wants Claudia to live a normal life, or the life that she wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of looked like he was worried that the regents have other ideas. It's not going to be up to Claudia.
Right.
You saw the look on his face. I don't think he's making false promises to Claudia. I think he wants to keep his promise, but it almost looks like he's worried that he's not going to be able to.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to.
Yeah. She isn't comfortable, and she doesn't know when she will be comfortable with it. Oh, that vest that HG was wearing, that deflected the shot that when Artie shot her, it shot him.
Oh, they both felt it. The twin thing?
Yeah. It was presumably worn by French novelist Alexandre Dumas when he wrote The Corsican Brothers. Much like the brothers on which the novel is focused, the Corsican vest inflicts any harm the wearer suffers on the attacker instead of the victim. And then I looked up The Corsican Brothers. It's a novella written by Alexandre Dumas in 1844. It's the story of two conjoined brothers who, though separated at birth, can still feel each other's physical distress. So that's where that vest comes from. And then we don't know where they took HG. They obviously aren't going to bronze her. And the funny thing is about Micah resigning is after Kelly leaves him, Pete is the one who's thinking of resigning.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks, you know, if he resigns, he'll get Kelly back and live a normal life. And Micah talks him out of it, saying that this is his life. He loves what he does. And then she's the one who resigns.
Well, you can't have both of them leave.
No.
And she was being selfish. Because she knew that if he left, she wasn't going to leave. So that was something else selfish on her part. She's the only thing about herself. That's selfish.
This is definitely a Micah bashing episode.
Yeah, she was being selfish.
Yeah, I don't know, but I think she does kind of believe that Pete loves this job. Well, she loves it. She called it her happiest place.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens in season 3. I think I covered everything I have.
Yep, I got everything I have.
All right, so we'll be taking 2 weeks off between seasons, but we will be back in 3 weeks with season 3.
All right, then. See you in 3 weeks.
Bye.
Whoa. Hang back there, Pointer Sister.
Sorry. I thought, you know, handling some ancient spears would trigger her notion, but...
Okay, well, I'm sorry to interrupt you while you're handling your ancient spear.
Okay, DC, tell us what's next.
We will back in 3 weeks. We've season 3. See you then. Bye now!
Bye.
Bye!
Hey, this is Doug Gramley reminding you to follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/the13thwarehouse. On Twitter at Eureka Warehouse, on Instagram at Eureka_warehouse, on our website at the13thwarehouse.com or on Podbean. Theme music for the 13th Warehouse, Reflections in the Mirror, provided by Esther Garcia under their standard license. See you next time in the 13th Warehouse.
And now we're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.